Welcome to this sermon from Christ Church. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
Go ahead and take a seat, church, and would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to be together as a church family, to celebrate the beauty of your creation, but more importantly, the beauty of your new creation in baptism, Father. Thank you for the joy it will be to see people committing their life to you. Now, Father, I pray you would just bless our time together as we think about the direction and the passion of our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you could stir in us a greater passion for Christ. And I ask in his name, amen. Well, church, since we're only doing one service today, normally we do three, I thought I would just do three services worth of a sermon today, if that's cool with you. Just kidding. Well, I want to just tell you a little bit about what we're celebrating today in baptism. And when someone commits to Christ, the scriptures tell us that they're to go and be baptized. And that is a public expression of their inner commitment. And it's a great time of joy and celebration. And that's what we're going to be doing today. But to just kind of prepare our hearts for this, I read a story about Jack Whitaker, and in 2002, he ended up winning the lottery, $315 million. Pretty good, huh? After taxes, it was $115 million. How about that? And he won the lottery and got $115 million, and he was an older man. He had grandkids and kids. And he said winning all of that actually ended up ruining his life. That his family kind of turned against him. His grandkids ended up getting into drugs. And he attributed all of it to this winning. What he thought was going to be an incredible blessing turned out to be a really terrible curse. And you can read many lottery stories like that, where people get this, what you think is an amazing blessing, and it ends up ruining their life. And I have a little experience with this. Some of you may know that I won the lottery around Christmas. You don't know that. This is a true story. I was in a White Elephant gift exchange, and one of the prizes was lotto tickets, scratch off, and I got like 10 of them, and I won $97. Yeah. And as soon as I won that, my relationship with everyone in that room changed. I could see the look on their faces that they just became so greedy. And from that moment, I said that I am never going to become incredibly wealthy because I don't want it to ruin my life. And so far, I have kept that vow. So 100% faithful to it. And the reality is whenever you get an incredible blessing, it also creates an incredible responsibility, doesn't it? And that's what sometimes I think maybe people aren't prepared for or thinking about. And today I want to just talk to you quickly about the great apostle Paul, who said that in a way, he said, I won the lottery. But it wasn't money, wasn't Bitcoin, it wasn't anything material. But he said, essentially, I won the lottery, spiritually. That God has blessed my life in such an amazing way. And he said, this blessing is absolutely life-changing, but it's also a great responsibility. And here's how he puts it. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. He says this, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the nations the unsearchable riches of Christ. So to me, though I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so what he's saying is that God has entrusted me with this incredible wealth, the riches of Christ. And Paul said, this is a great blessing, but it's also a great responsibility. And I believe that God wants to give that blessing to you, that you have that blessing. And I want to talk a little bit about that responsibility that we have today. So just three quick thoughts I want to talk about. I want to talk about the riches here in this passage, the purpose that it brings to our life, and the responsibility. The riches, the purpose, and the responsibility. So here's the first thing, the riches. Paul said, I have the riches of Christ. I've found the very best resources and treasure in this world. And he said, it's Jesus Christ. And if I could get into Paul's mind a little bit, I think what he meant by that is that, number one, for Paul, the riches of Christ meant that all of Paul's shortcomings and failures and all of his mistakes and all the guilt that he carried, what he's saying is that in Christ, there is more than enough forgiveness and love and riches to cover over all that. I think our greatest problem as human beings is that we are broken people and we're alienated from God. And we can't find our way back to him on our own. And we can't heal the relationship on our own. And we can't ever do good enough to make ourselves lovable and acceptable before him. At the end of the day, what Paul found is that in Christ, I am absolutely accepted and loved by God. And Paul said, that's the greatest riches anyone could ever give me. And church, I want you to know that's, you have that too. Paul also found that in Christ, that no matter what he lost in life, if he had Christ, he could still have joy. He could still have purpose. He could still have meaning. Now, you might read Paul and you might think, well, maybe Paul's in a really good place in his life and that's why he's so optimistic. But when he wrote these words, he was actually in prison. And it wasn't necessarily because of what he had done. It was because of injustice and conspiracy and things like that. But he said, even there, I'm a rich man. It takes something to say that in those circumstances, doesn't it? And Paul would say that again and again because he said, no matter what, if I have Christ, I have it all. I can lose these things in my life. Not that it doesn't break my heart. Not that I don't want to. But Christ is sufficient. He is more than enough, even when life is hard. And I think every one of us, we need a faith that can endure suffering. Because life is hard. Life is not easy. And just because you love God doesn't mean it becomes easy then. Sometimes it becomes harder. But Paul says, but in Christ, there are riches enough to get me through those times with joy, with purpose, and with meaning. And I believe Paul also thought that the riches of Christ are enough to heal a broken world. We live in a broken world, don't we? There's all kinds of racial tension and political tension and all kinds of serious issues. And what Paul says in this letter earlier on, he says, in Christ, there are the resources to bring healing to the walls that divide us. And so Paul said, Christ, he has what we need. I don't know what all the solutions to the problems in our world are, but I do know they begin and end with Christ. Because he is the one that has the wealth and the resources and the ability to deal with them. And so then Paul said, this has given my life a purpose. He said, my purpose is to help people connect to that. And I want you to know today that you don't have to be amazing and gifted and talented and beautiful and have all kinds of things to have an amazing life. Paul said, if you're part of what God is doing in the world through Christ, your life has eternal meaning and purpose. And so no matter what we do or where our lives at, as soon as we get our lives connected to Christ, there is an incredible purpose that we enter into. And Paul says that's for him and that's for all of us. He says, I'm the least of all the saints. He said, I'm not an impressive guy. I don't have anything important or significant or impressive about me. He said, what gives my life meaning is that I get to be part of this adventure with Jesus Christ. And I believe one of the big disservices that we do to people in this world is we tell them to look inward for their purpose. Find out who you really are. Find out how beautiful and amazing you are. And we tell them to look inward and inward to find all those answers. But Paul says, don't look inward. Look upward. Look to Christ. And there you will find that meaning that you're hungry for and that you're searching for. Paul said, I found it, and I'm the least. I'm the worst. If it works for me, it'll work for you too. And then here's the last part. Paul said, this has given my life a new responsibility, that now I am making it my ambition to preach to the nations the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm trying to block the wind. I don't know how to do that. There we go. He said, that's my life responsibility, to bring that message to the world around us. And church, I think that is our responsibility as a church. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. That's why we do everything that we do, is that people would know that, man, Jesus Christ is where it's at. You can try all different things in life. You can try and find meaning and pleasure and joy, but those run dry really quick. But what Paul says, which I absolutely believe, is that when you go to Christ, you will find unfathomable riches that absolutely change our life, not just now, but in eternity. And Paul said, that message is too good to keep to myself. It's too good to not share it with the world around us. And so Paul said, I'm going to spend my life trying to make that known. And he did. He constantly repositioned himself. He went from place to place, city to city. And I think what's so exciting to me about this season of our church's life is that's what we're trying to do as a church, is reposition ourselves. How can we be most effective to let the riches of Christ be known in our world? And so I just want to challenge you with one thought today. One thought. If you believe what Paul's saying, if you agree with that, if that resonates in your heart, if you are a follower of Christ, I want you to just ask yourself this question. Is your life busy or is it fruitful? And here's what I mean by that. Is it busy? Are you just doing all kinds of things? Or are you thinking about your life and thinking about how you can position your life and how you can take this responsibility to help other people know the riches of Christ? That's what being fruitful is. Fruitful is thinking, God hasn't just put me here to live a couple years, have a good retirement, and die. He's put me here to help people know about Christ. And that's the fruitful way of thinking. And so I want to challenge you, because we're all going to be busy our whole life. It doesn't take much to be busy, does it? Our schedules, they're going to fill up. You're even going to try and not let it fill up sometimes, and it's going to. You're going to be like, I'm never doing this much again. And then next week, there you are. It's easy to be busy, but will our lives be fruitful? Will they count for what Paul says is the thing that ultimately counts? I want you to think about that, and would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that there are riches in Christ for all of us. Lord, no matter what is impoverished in our life, Lord, if it's a broken heart, if it's problems that are bigger than us, if it's the forgiveness of sin, if it's guilt and shame from the past, Lord, whatever it is, you have more than enough riches to cover over it, to guide us through it, to help us in the journey. Father, I pray that each one of us could just access those riches. We could go to Christ and we could experience the tremendous blessing of his presence and his purpose in us. And Father, I also pray that we would feel a sense of responsibility to live a life making him known and glorifying his great name. I pray, Father, as we celebrate those who are getting baptized today, that it would stir our hearts and we would remember what it was like to find Christ, and it would give us a passion to help others find him as well. Bless us today. Be with us, Lord. Thank you for this great time to worship you here. And I pray all this in Christ's good name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.